Welcome to the Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast presented to you by LSG Media. Well, here we are, Jessica.
Yes, we are.
We are at the seventh episode, the penultimate, I believe you like to call it.
The penultimate is my favorite.
Penultimate, excuse me, I'm saying it wrong. The penultimate episode. And I have to say, coming out of the gate, two things. Number one, I just want to say RIP to Alexia. It's very sad.
I know.
And RIP to Steve's hopeful romances.
And, also sad.
He should have known.
Not sad. Be careful what you say about it.
He should have known. Be careful. This is LSG. I don't do that.
No, I know. I'm just talking about the internet at large.
No, yeah, I know. But he should have known when she knew anything about the Indianapolis 500 that she likes girls. No, I'm kidding.
That should have been the moment for the turnaround.
He should have known at that point. But no, I think this is a really good episode of TV. I don't really have any complaints with it, to be perfectly honest with you. And I think before we continue, I want to address something. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just picking crap off my leg, making sure it wasn't a tick as I was in the woods today.
Real weird.
I want to talk about the Billy stuff.
Okay, yes, I know.
Let's get that out of the way, because we did talk about it. We did say we would do some homework, and we did.
Mm-hmm, we did.
So before we even dive into the bite, we're going to talk about the Billy.
And then we'll talk about those episodes.
Yeah, so it's kind of related in that we just brought it up. There's not really any Billy to speak of in this episode, just him finding the blood in the moment. But I couldn't remember exactly what was said. I was sort of putting forth the idea based on memory, which, by the way, went back and listened to that episode, and it was 3 years ago. So it shows you how awesome my memory is.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. But and it was funny because it was the idea was Billy's a bad person to everybody around him. I don't think he discerns by race. I think he's just bad to everyone, right? So if he doesn't like anybody, does that make him racist? You know, we were talking a lot about this. And then I was like, well, what did he say to Max in the car regarding Lucas? What was it? And I am, after listening to the podcasts, after watching the episode moment again, I'm convinced that my original take, and I think yours too, stands, which is the show didn't really want to overtly use racist language. And they wanted to convey that he was, in fact, racist towards Lucas without him saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't remember that. I didn't remember that, to be honest with you, until I went back and watched it and listened to it. But there is some interesting other thoughts about there, because I remember saying, well, this is a TV show largely centered around children, so you're not going to have him saying any kind of racial pejorative towards Lucas, because it's going to be really hard to sell that in this kind of TV show, right? And I thought to myself, that's pure speculation by my part. So why don't we go to the source, the Duffer Brothers themselves, and see what they say.
Okay.
So I pulled up a couple articles. The actor, Montgomery, he's got some of his own thoughts about it. He basically said, I don't think it has anything to do with race. He loves his sister, and if it were any other kid, he would have reacted the same way, his words. But Montgomery does understand why some might interpret Billy's, quote, certain type of people comment as racially charged. He added that originally the script contained, quote, a far worse piece of language, end quote, for Billy to call Lucas.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, interesting. And then the Duffers themselves on a Vulture, which is garbage, but still. Max's stepbrother is racist. Matt Duffer, he's just a terrible person. Ross Duffer, he is racist. So even they are kind of split about it. Ross
you
elaborates.
Can be, why not both?
Correct. Ross elaborates and says, right, correct. If he was mean to Lucas, regardless, he's still being mean to Lucas, mm-hmm. regardless of what he's thinking in his fucking head, right? His actions are what we have to judge, not what he's thinking, right? What is mm-hmm. he doing? Is he being mean to, like, you know, if there's no record of you being a racist person and you attack and beat up a black person, that shouldn't be less of a crime than if you just say racist things and never attack a black person. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so that kind of goes to what you were just saying. What happened? Ross continues, Ross Duffer, I think it's reflective of people that he's viewing as different from him and an overall rage at the world. In this case, seeing his sister with someone like Lucas leads to that conversation. Matt continues. But also, any way he can find a reason to attack Max, he'll use it. We wanted to be honest about what an interracial relationship like that would do and how certain characters react and how a character like Billy would really react to that. So I don't know why Matt Duffer won't just come out and say it like Ross is doing. But I think it's because
of backlash, and that's just why, the same reason why Dacre Montgomery said, oh, I didn't read it like I was racist. I challenge you to go back and watch that scene again. Mm-hmm. He reads it like he's racist. I'm sorry. His acting portrays racism. Yes. Like, period. I just watched the scene today.
Yeah. Yeah, we both just watched it.
That's because you get backlash, and then all of a sudden you feel like you have to say certain things. He's a fucking character in a TV show. His character is written as being racist.
Right.
Such is life.
Yes. Yeah, he explicitly says people like that. He's not saying children.
Exactly.
He's beating around the bush. And I think that was my big gripe, because he could say boys are only hanging around boys at your age. You're an adolescent.
Exactly.
I could see somebody saying that for sure, especially a protective older brother, but he's not saying that.
Exactly.
He's beating around the bush. And I think that was my problem with it. And it's not because I want Billy to come out and say racist shit. In fact, I don't know if it's more or less interesting if he's racist or if he's not. If he's a terrible person, he's a terrible person, kind of to Matt Duffer's point.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to kind of clarify that, because I said we would revisit it. And I think that's pretty sufficient.
Yeah.
Good?
That's fine.
Awesome. All right, cool. It was weird going back and watching a scene I hadn't seen in so long and looking how young the kids just looked last season.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And then listening to a podcast from 3 years ago. That was weird. So that's done. That's solved. Let's move on to the bite.
Okay.
Talk to me about the bite.
I really like this episode. And, you know, I knew this episode was coming, obviously. I remembered, you know, that in the penultimate episode, we get like the Robin reveal, we get the death of Alexi, that there's a lot of like big and like really good stuff in this episode. I didn't remember how great the episode is to watch. It's really a good episode to watch, honestly.
It's good.
I stand by what I said last week, that rewatching the show, I've enjoyed it a million times more. And not that I didn't enjoy it the first time around, but I've liked it even more rewatching it, just almost like out of context, as opposed to doing that binge while everyone's watching it, everyone's talking about it, and everyone's writing about it. I think I've enjoyed it more like rewatching it this way. Cool. I also said to Dean that there are some things about the show that were very hard for me doing this podcast back, and most things weren't. And the biggest ones were the Steve and Robin relationship and how to talk about it. Because you all know, if we were podcasting about the show and I had not seen future episodes, all I would do is sit here and ship Robin and Steve. You guys know.
You know me.
Luckily,
she's just in that college age, I'm a lesbian stage. So there might be hope. There might be hope for Steve.
Are we all a lesbian at this age? Come on.
All right. Save your letters. I'm not belittling your sexuality if you're a lesbian and saying it's not real. Oh. I'm saying it's real. I'm just saying there is a lot of that at that age. Like, oh, I kind of like her. But this sounded like way beyond that.
No, 100%.
Yeah. This sounded like real emotion.
So this was interesting to watch back again, too, because I had a lot of, like, at the time I was, like, so taken aback by it, because I was so hardcore like shipping Robin and Steve that I was like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when it was revealed? And I feel like I was like, I was wondering if it was a crush. It had a crush way about it, the way she was talking. She just wasn't talking about him,
right.
But she wasn't making it super explicit that it was him either.
Right.
When you go back and think about it.
Yeah, it's just interesting. It was hard to watch back this season, and for you, like I was ever like, I wonder if Dean's like, why isn't Jessica like all over this like Steve and Robin thing? Because if I had been watching it week by week, that's all you would have heard.
Truthfully, my assumption was that they did get together, and you were already satisfied in that, knowing they got together.
You
know what I'm saying?
And so it was different.
Right.
So I've spent the whole show like knowing this moment was coming, and I feel like that was a hard thing for me to talk about them in a way, because I can't go back and like pretend like how I felt at the time.
Sure.
Because I know it's different now. And so I've been waiting for this episode so I could finally talk about Steve and Robin and like everything about it.
Right.
The other one that's hard is like obviously the death of Alexi. Me knowing Alexi was going to die.
That's brutal.
Alexi being such a likable character. And especially, like I said, like, okay, Alexi's like the Bob Newby, kill off his character in dramatic fashion in your penultimate episode.
You said that today after I saw him die.
Very, very formulaic. But the difference is that Bob Newby, you were kind of like at first like, oh, do we like him? Do we not like him? And Alexi, you're like, I fucking love this guy. And Alexi had such a great episode. And all Dean kept saying the entire time we were watching the episode was like, oh man, I love Alexi. What a great addition to the show. Mm-hmm. And I am like dying inside because I know it's going to happen. And the way they do it is so tragic and it's so... It's so well done.
It was a bummer.
And so sad. And the first time I watched this episode, when I originally watched it, I cried like a bitch.
That is so funny.
I cried like a bitch. I was devastated. It was so sad and so well done.
What specifically, yeah, I guess because it is very well done. It was
I cried when Bob Newby died like a bitch too.
I know, but it was pretty shocking. You know, yes. It's there's no reason to bury the lead. If we have to rearrange the way we talk, but we should just keep on Alexi. But the moment he has, like that whole thing where he's in the car and Hopper and Joyce are arguing and that shit when he's like, they haven't had sex, he thinks it's the funniest thing in the world, made me just, I fucking roared. He's so goddamn funny this episode.
He's so like charismatic and so easily,
correct,
genuinely likable.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's such a likable character.
It's pretty awesome that, you know, despite the fact that he speaks zero English, we can still sort of infer things from him.
I think we like that. That makes him more likable.
Interesting.
I think there's something about that, that speaking a different language, the lapse, like that type of character where it makes them more endearing.
Are you fetishizing the Russian?
No, I don't like any of the other Russians. But something about the fact that they don't speak the same language and how he reacts to things.
Did you just disparage an entire country?
I said I don't like the other Russians, like in the show.
Oh, okay.
Not in the whole world.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
It makes him very...
You gotta watch what you say now. You'll end up in a Vulture article.
It makes him very endearing.
I'm kidding, by the way.
It makes Alexi very endearing.
Yeah, and there's an innocence about him, I think.
Correct.
I think that makes him endearing.
And him and Murray are fantastic in this episode.
Murray's standout.
It's a great Murray episode.
Great episode. Him pointing out the obvious between the two.
Dean, literally, when we were watching the episode, Dean was like, well, here's the voice of the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's true. It's true. And it was great. It was fantastic. Murray was great. Murray and Alexi bonding was great. The moment where Alexi says like he'll become an American citizen so he can join the fun is one of those like swan song statements. Like now that you know that obviously he died, like aren't you like, oh, what a moment. Like, and you knew, like I could tell the moment where all of a sudden like Dean was nervous that like Alexi was going to get killed and or at least be hurt or kidnapped or whatever. And
At first, I thought the Russian Terminator was going to snatch him. And then I saw the way he was kind of like concealing the pistol. And I'm like, he's going to fucking shoot this guy. Shot him right through his Woody Woodpecker. God damn it. After watching all that Woody Woodpecker cartoon.
I know. And he was so happy when he won. See, now I want to cry again because it's so good. It's like, even still, so it's been like however long since I've watched this, like months and months and months and months. And now I've rewatched again. I feel the same emotionally, which is like, Alexi was such a sweet and endearing character. And like, he goes to a carnival. He's so excited. He's talking about being an American citizen. He gets to play the game. He's like, it's not rigged. Look at the stuffed animal I got. He's like so excited to show Murray. And it is like I'm like getting choked up talking about it. It's really emotional.
I think what makes it sad is thinking of where he came from. It's like 1985, Russia, their country's like 5 years away from not being a country anymore. And like, yes, I don't know because I never went to Russia. And yes, I understand that a lot of what I think I may know about Russia could probably be American propaganda. I'm fully willing to accept that. But I also know that we weren't great friends in that communist Russia was a tough place to live and still is apparently. But I don't really know. This is speculative. I'm not a fucking history expert on Russia. I don't know. I'm not an expert on, it should go without saying, but the idea of this guy getting to a place, and especially in 1985, America was fucking crushing it, to where he's like, wow, look at this, like, look at what is available to me. And he gets to, like, just a taste of it before he's ripped away.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think there's something kind of beautiful. And I know it's Alexi. I know it's a character we've just introduced. I know it's Stranger Things. But there is something kind of beautiful about the way he gets to experience, as corny as it is, this 4th of July thing in the heyday of 85, when those things were still big and huge and awesome. And like, he gets to experience this and he feels good about it and he's high-fiving kids and shit.
That's great.
And then he sees the guy and he's like, oh, and then bang, he gets shot. And the way they kind of do his, we don't watch Alexi die. We come back and he's just slumped dead. And I was like, damn, Alexi's dead. That sucks.
It's such like a gut punch moment because you still are in that,
or a
in
gut
that moment.
Shot in this case.
You're still like, okay, maybe. You know?
I thought maybe when Murray took off to get help, because I'm looking at Lexi's face. He doesn't look too bad. I'm like, it's kind of low. Maybe it's not a chest lung thing. Maybe he's, and I'm like, yeah, probably just blew up his abdominal aorta and he bled out all over inside of his body, which is sad to think about. But, yeah, it was a bummer. And Alexi was no more. And you can tell Murray was devastated. Like, yep. That's cool. Like, it's nice to see something more out of Murray, to see, you know, that World of Wise episode, he's in it. It's funny. We were just watching.
Is that the
it.
One with Nancy, when Nancy and Jonathan go up there?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Cause I fast forwarded, but it looked like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool to see a different side of him and the translations and everything else. And
to see him like, because Murray's just kind of an eccentric character who he does a lot of like voice of the audience telling people, like he did it to Nancy and Jonathan like back in season two or whatever.
Yeah, we know everyone at home, everyone in America wants these children to fuck. So please
let
fuck.
Me give them a bed. Yeah.
Let me give these children a
they
bed.
Children, they were 18.
I know, I'm being an
relax,
asshole.
Relax.
So they can fuck for America.
But it was nice to see Murray, who's like essentially just an eccentric kind of, like I said, voice of the audience type character, to see him form a genuine bond with another person where you're like, I'll watch the TV show of like Murray and Alexi hanging out and doing shit. Like I'll watch that buddy cop movie, you know?
Yeah. And I'll tell
it was
you.
So, it was so humanizing for Murray. It was more than him being a caricature, which he always has been. He's never been like a really developed character, but watching him form a relationship and bond with another person makes him so much more of a character.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, prior to his death, it appeared he was teaching Murray about car bombs.
He was.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is that's going to come back in the finale, which is our next episode. Crazy. So I'm really curious about that. I liked that. And, it was just there was something very endearing about Alexi. There was something, he felt very real to me. He didn't feel like an artificial character. He felt like is he a stereotypical nerdy Russian fucking scientist guy? Sure. But like, there was something more to him than just that. And I think that's what I liked about him.
Yeah.
He was just a nice guy. You know, and we're coming off of last week where he's just like, Harper knew he didn't want to run. He was afraid.
Yep.
And that was like foreshadowing for us.
And that guy
has very good reason to be afraid.
And when that guy shot him, the Russian Terminator, he said, traitor.
I know. Fucking dark.
And it's crazy because Alexi essentially originally wasn't. He was kidnapped by Hopper. I mean, if we want to be technical, and it's just.
Yeah, I think once.
Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad.
I think the Russian wouldn't have shot him if he saw him in handcuffs. But once he saw him carrying a Woody Woodpecker
doll.
Yeah, having
a great time. Yeah.
I think he just knew that fucking. He was giving away all the secrets to his American captors at that point.
Yeah, it sucks. Oh, it's definitely a really, really sad moment. It was a tough one.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Alexi.
Poor one out to Alexi.
Yeah, Barb and then Bob Newby and Alexi.
Yeah, old Barb.
Our epic deaths of Stranger Things.
So why don't we come back to the carnival or how does this
episode? Do we want to just at least go through anything with like Joyce and Hopper and all that? Do we want to just do that all now since we already did Alexi as opposed to coming back and talking about them again, talking more about Alexi?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, we might as well.
Take it away.
Yeah, so everybody's headed to the carnival and I'm pretty sure that Joyce and Hopper tell them to wait in the car, but they got to go in. They got to, you know, get there, play their games. But
Klein's having fun.
You know, they're looking for their kids. They're not able to find their kids. We again see Mrs. Wheeler, you know, being preoccupied and not having any idea where any children are for it seems days.
Mrs. Wheeler, I like that we're kind of, without being too overt, we've sort of leaned into this. There's something kind of, there's a romance, and I use that in the broadest sense, about her. Like, her head's elsewhere. Like, you know what I mean? Her head's in the clouds. And you know, she slips the guy a fiver and they're at the top of the fucking Ferris wheel watching the fireworks. And her husband couldn't be less attractive to me.
I think that they have like leaned so hard into this Wheeler dynamic. And I think it has to come from like people on the internet. Because I feel like Mr. Wheeler, there's no way that he was always this bad.
Right.
And I feel like they were like, we're going to lean into this hard. And I really felt it this episode. And like, I feel like they've made Mrs. Wheeler dress sexier. And when he's standing with her and she's like, I just don't see them as a couple. And he's like, oh, you know, there's someone for everyone. And you're just like, oh, disgusting.
Which means there's someone else for him and someone else for her, maybe.
No, but just like him thinking that and like how gross he is and like him touch. Oh my God, it's just something. It's just something.
And she's like, boy, I should have plowed that lifeguard before he became a demon monster.
If only she knew that her time for plowing him was over.
Yeah,
Gravitron, whatever, all that stuff. I like this stuff between Hopper and Joe. Like, I like all their stuff in this episode. I like that they hold hands in the Gravitron. It's like a tiny, cute, small thing after that big conversation.
You know, I'm going to say something about this episode. This episode didn't fuck up any of those beats to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they nailed them all this week. The hand-holding, Alexi's death, Alexi's talking, the Murray sort of meltdown. You know, all of this stuff was landed to me.
Even Hopper, I have to say, like, such great stuff from Hopper. And yeah, he was doing his, like, man baby stuff, and then Murray calls him out on it. and then we still watch the arguing, you know, Hopper being like, oh, I apologize for him, whatever. But then we get the great scene in, like, the funhouse with Hopper. And we get the great moment, too, when Hopper gets back to the car and he asks about Alexi. And his reaction is so fantastic and so genuine because he spent this whole time being like, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it was acting. He didn't, no one said anything. There was no, like, I don't remember. Somebody might have said, like, you know, I don't even remember. I just remember the faces of him and Joyce in the moment where he was like, where's Alexi?
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. Hopper did great in this episode. Love the funhouse. So stereotypical. That's cheesy. Fantastic. Love it.
So that whole carnival 4th of July celebration is really shot well. It's full of people. Do you remember when people could gather and do things together?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Is there a time it was like that?
Yeah. Once upon a time, we could gather together as a populace and celebrate things. It was a long time ago before the wars and the viruses. Whoever listens to this in 50 years when we're all fucking wiped out. But no, it was cool because, you know, you see so many of these things and they look so cheesy and dinky. And I think it's a sign of our times almost. I know that sounds cynical, but I always feel like when I was a kid, like those kind of carnivals are just so much more robust. And that might be because the world seems so much bigger when you're a kid. I don't know if I'm misremembering.
Too, when you like see the carnivals now.
Like part of me thinks, different. What were they that awesome? Or was it just like that? But I think maybe, you know, with all the other things we can do for entertainment in the world, maybe they just aren't as awesome anymore. But maybe they never were, and I just think they were. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that said, it was cool because I think it, like that carnival, like one of my complaints in the first couple of episodes was this idea of trying too hard to remind us of certain things. And then there are subtle things that they do that work super well. And there's a couple of just little dumb things. Like even when you just said the car on the mall, I was like, they still do that, but not as much. And look at the car. It's an old car. And in the carnival 4th of July celebration, what do you call it? What do you even call that?
A fair.
A fair. Thank you. That's the word I keep
saying. People don't have fairs anymore.
I keep saying carnival.
It is like a carnival though.
Right.
Sort of.
But it's like a fair. It's a 4th of July fair. And you just felt, the show is really good at making you feel like you're at these places. Especially if you have any memory of these types of places. And when he goes into that funhouse, that was so cool. What a great action moment for him. Mm-hmm. It was great to see him beat the brakes off of that one guy.
Yep.
Like a tiny little kid.
Mm-hmm.
He just beat that guy's ass, took his gun. Dude, and when he shot that guy, like relentlessly unloading on him, I was like, this is amazing. That killer instinct that we know Hopper has. Sadly, our guy's wearing a goddamn vest. Always put one in the brain.
Come on. Right?
Always put one in the brain.
I even knew that. And yeah, I've seen the episode before, but I still know.
I was like, I kind of like an unceremonious death for this guy.
I was like, LOL, you idiot. He's wearing a bulletproof vest. What's wrong with you?
And then he stood up and
he's
like,
the Terminator.
Ah, fuck. He's got a vest on. He's got Terminator's fucking gloves. But yeah, that was a really cool action moment. And you know, while we were watching it, you said something like, isn't it funny that the most interesting part of this episode doesn't involve the kids this week? And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Not that there's not good stuff with the kids. There's good stuff with everybody.
No, like
there were just these huge moments in the other two storylines.
Right. But like I said, all of these emotional beats, they slay. Like I think they are.
Mike and Eleven.
Correct. I think they're 100% this week. So I'm happy. I'm very happy with this episode. I don't think there's much else we need to cover in that, right?
I don't think so.
Good night, sweet Prince Alexi.
Joyce punches Klein in the face. And you know what? I like that.
Yep.
Because that was for Alexi. That's why she did that. And that's
correct.
Why I liked it.
Yep.
That felt genuine to me. Much more genuine than her calling the Philadelphia Public Library or whatever the fuck she was doing in the last episode.
Especially in that moment of, she didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to do a dumb rant.
No, and that's what I liked about it. She was angry. She knew Klein was working with the Russians. She hits him. And I love that. That's a good moment. For sure.
Totally. Where to now?
You choose.
Well, I don't think we have.
We only have two other places to go.
Yeah, and those two places end up together.
Yes, exactly.
Well, why don't we jump on the Steve stuff?
Okay.
Which is kind of the Dustin stuff with Dylan.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. It's all together. They're together. Yeah. All right. Same thing. Our foursome back together. Lots of funny shit.
It's super funny. Like, I always get concerned with your stereotypical drugged people in movies.
And I love it.
I think it worked pretty well, for sure. And I like the idea of these older kids. They're 20 something.
I mean, they're 18.
I know they're real ages, but
I think they're 18 on the show.
Okay, fine.
College age.
Okay.
Steve just graduated high school.
Right. But my point is that these kids are much younger than them in Dustin and Erica, and they're trying to like wrangle them.
To parent them. It's so funny. It's like, why would they be drunk? Like, I don't understand. It's like, you guys sit here and you don't move.
Right.
They are so funny in the way that they behave, like acting parental to these kids. And again, the interactions between Steve and Dustin are so fucking good. They have so much chemistry together and they do such a great job when they're acting. They're so, so funny. Steve calls him dad like 3 times. Mm-hmm. It is hilarious. I love the way these two interact with each other. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I actually laughed out loud at this exchange of dialogue because it was so damn funny. Let's have a listen.
We all die, my strange little child friend. It's just a matter of how and when.
I fucking love that shit out of her. That is so funny because it's such a, like, a I'm ripped and such a, it seems like something that this character would utter.
Yes.
If
yeah,
she
for
was
sure.
inebriated, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
We all die, my strange little friend. She calls
child
him
friend.
Child friend. Yes. It's really funny. You know, She's very much a natural. With the parents she has, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's super natural on screen, and she was really funny and endearing this week.
Oh, she's fantastic. Yeah. She's a great actress, and Robin's a great character.
And you know, Steve's honestly really good too. He's really good.
Wait, what did you say?
The actor, what's his name?
His name is Joe Keery.
He's really good.
Dean, did you just say that Steve was really good?
He is. He's good. He's a good actor.
Oh my God, this is the best moment that I've ever had in the entirety of the Stranger Things podcast. Dean finally comes around just like I did.
No, he's
Steve
good.
Harrington.
He's good.
He's fantastic in this episode.
He is.
And so, obviously, so is Maya Hawke. Like, they all are. All four of them are great in these scenes. But same as, like I say, like, Dustin and Steve have so much chemistry together. Steve and Robin have so much chemistry together. And I appreciate this, again, watching it back a second time, knowing that this was going to happen. I think the show wants you to want Steve and Robin to be a couple, but I don't think they overtly do it in the way they did it with like Nancy and Jonathan.
Correct.
So that when you hear this, you're like, I'm shocked. But then you think about it and you're like, oh, okay though. I know there's a lot of like, there are people who are like, oh, the show had to have like an LGBT character. This is annoying. It doesn't make sense. There are people who are pumped that they did it. You know, everyone's got an opinion.
I'm so happy I don't have to know any of the politics surrounding it.
But like, I was so shocked the first time I watched through because I like shipped like Steve and Robin so hard. But to be honest, and it's such a sad, sad moment for Steve. Like it's like a little heartbreaking.
Of course.
Like to watch him like pour his heart out, and he's so sweet in the way he talks to her, and she so genuinely reacts to it. And
it's crazy.
It's lovely.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about it on just seeing it on the TV here in the background while we're talking, or watching me gauge the reaction on her. At first I was thinking she can't really believe it. And then I was like, you know, she's probably feels emotion. And then I thought, oh, she's going to be, here's what I thought the stereotypical move was going to be, and you've seen this in a lot of movies that portray this type of thing. I don't mean the fact that she's a lesbian, but the fact that she, I guess that's what she is, I don't even know anymore. But the fact that somebody's telling you this while inebriated, and they're like, you don't even believe this, you're just saying this because you're drunk. Like, that's where I thought this was going to go, and that's why she was going to be upset. And then she totally flipped the whole fucking world on me. Let me explain to you why I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because her identity is not her sexuality.
Right.
That's why I really like the way the show handles this with her. We learned about her as a person and what she liked and what she was into and how interesting and smart she was. And then we're like, and she likes girls. And I'm like, cool. I don't care. But I hate when they try to make a character lead with, I like this other type of sexuality. And then, like, she didn't lead with that. She just led as I'm a person.
Yeah, it wasn't like the lesbian girl at the ice cream shop.
Correct. Right. It was just
which it could have been.
It was a cool person at the ice cream shop who you come to know and like, and then you go, oh, awesome. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm being asked to like or dislike her based on her sexuality, period. Mm-hmm. Because when you present that first, I almost feel like that's what you're doing. You're making me make a decision in the moment. Isn't she cool because she's lesbian? Isn't he cool because he's gay? I don't know. I don't know who they are yet. But this fucking does it so well because if you were to say, I don't think that character's cool, why? Because she's gay? No, fucking no, because she's not. You haven't made her cool yet. But they've made her so cool. And then they drop this in such a realistic way to me.
It's fantastic.
Right?
I mean, especially we're talking about the 80s.
Sure.
Steve's reaction is, as far as I'm concerned, perfect. Mm-hmm. It is so well, everything about this scene is so well written. Of course Steve is going to say this stuff to her. Of course he's starting to feel this way. That makes total sense, doesn't it? You're bonding and you're so close with this other person of the opposite sex that you find, you know, physically attractive. Of course, like, that's what's going to happen. These feelings are going to develop. It only makes sense. It's only logical for Steve to be feeling this way. And the stuff that he's saying, like, of course, like, that's what was going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love the way he tells the story. I like, he's like, oh, there's this girl. And it's so cute and like wonderful in the way he tells the story. And her reaction of being sad almost that he's saying all this to her because she cares about him so much.
She does.
And this like fear of like, this person that I care about so much is not going to like me anymore.
Yeah.
And she obviously feels that.
I think that
she does such a good job of showing that without straight up saying it. Although she does. She's like, oh, I didn't expect to like you so much.
I mean, she kind of becomes fucking useless to him. Yeah.
Oh,
is he still going to like her? I mean, she's pretty fucking useless at this point. I'm totally kidding. I love that observation, the idea, her fear of telling it means, but you know what I will say? Again, this show's a type of, again, and this is a written show and all of these characters almost behave too perfectly for realism. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, except for Billy. I'm just kidding.
But no, I mean these two characters in this moment, this is written perfectly as you would hope it would go down in a perfect world. I will say it is very safe in a sense. Like, he's not pissed off. She doesn't lead him along because of fear forever, like might happen. Like, oh, I don't want to tell him right away. So many people are just dishonest with other people because mm-hmm. they like the attention. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a problem. But in this, it's like they're well adjusted to it quickly. That's not to say, again, I just praise the scene. I think it's really good. You know what I mean? And I think it tells us a lot about the Steve character. It tells us a lot about where he's at mentally, and I like that.
I agree, because Steve is a character who's had a great growth arc, and he has changed totally. So much. From the start of, even when he's talking about how he was in love with Nancy Wheeler and like now he's not and it's different. And just his reaction to him being like, I don't understand what you're saying. She's a girl. And like not computing it, because in the 80s, it wasn't normal for your friend to be like, now it's like your friend's like, hey, I'm a lesbian. And you're like, cool. Mm-hmm. Like I have like 67 like friends of like a different sexual orientation. Like it's normal. Mm-hmm. I don't really have 67 friends, period. So that's not true. But yeah. You know what I mean? It's so normal now for someone to be like, oh, I'm a lesbian. And you're like, oh, cool. Like, or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. In the 80s, it's not like that. If a girl says to you, if you're a teenager in the 80s and a girl's like, oh, I like other girls, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm assuming that is a very abnormal thing to say. So his reaction of being confused and then getting it, and then like basically just like making fun of the girl, like that's how I imagine Steve would go. And I'm sure that Steve is like, not hurt, like it's hard to describe, like a disappointment to a degree because he obviously had feelings for her.
Sure.
But I like the fact that he still genuinely wants to sit with her and like be her friend in that moment.
Totally.
And I believe it because they made me believe it watching them act through it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I hope Robin and Steve are friends forever. But I'm like, how is Steve going to find a girlfriend that I like when I like Robin so much?
Right. Totally. And I obviously it's been easier for people to come out, as it were, now than it was back then. Not that it's ever easy. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It is. It's a much different time than it was in the mid 80s. But yeah, it's a really good scene, and I liked the way they chose to reveal it in this character, other than it just being that's who this character is. Like, we are so much more than our sexuality, you know. We're so much. What we do with the thing in between our legs and what we do and how we use it with other people with the thing between their legs,
whoa,
shouldn't be so fucking important to our entire identity, because it's the most ununique thing about us. Everybody either, you know, biologically, you either have a dick or you don't, through the way you're born or through surgery or whatever the fuck. It shouldn't be the most interesting thing about your personality. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's not super unique.
Right.
It's like everybody has something. So, and I like the way they did it. We learned about her as a person and then come to find out she has a preference for girls sexually. Cool. That's fine. She's still awesome. You're not going to take that away. You know,
right.
you earned her coolness by showing us how cool she was.
It's so interesting. So
not by just labeling her. Sorry.
I just wonder why they made this choice to introduce Robin and to tell her story in this way, as like almost like making her like she was going to be a pseudo like this love interest for Steve, and then turning it on its head.
Because it happens to people, I'm sure.
And I'm not bothered by it. Like, I like that they did it, even though I'm like, again, like, oh God, how can Steve find a girl now?
Yeah, for you to, yeah, exactly. For
other than me.
I mean, for this evil fucking goddamn flirty bitch to lead on your man and for you to still be okay with it, the show has done something right.
How dare she? She should have told him from the start.
You're like, I fucking hate her. I hope she gets over here and cancels this fucking bitch.
When he said that he loved her, she should have said, well, I guess I'm straight now. Just kidding, obviously. Yeah, I love Robin. I love Steve. I love their dynamic. I like that we're getting a different dynamic from him. It, to be honest, like, Dean makes me think about a lot of like David and Stevie on Schitt's Creek.
Ah, interesting.
And we've watched those, if you've ever watched Schitt's Creek, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but like there is a character who is, you know, bisexual, pansexual, I don't remember exactly what he says, but pretty much mainly gay, mainly hooks up with men.
Totally.
And he has a straight female friend and they have some interactions where it's like, is there going to be more? And they're characters who are able to remain such close friends and have such a beautiful relationship.
Emily Hampshire.
Despite the fact that there was like this point of sexual tension, it didn't work because of like other things.
Sure.
And I think that show did a really wonderful job of like showing a relationship like that. And I think that Stranger Things also has potential for doing the same with these two characters. And I like that. So
I'm curious. So thanks for spoiling it that Steve and her don't die.
I mean, they might.
I'm joking. Like,
did you think Alexi was going to die? Did you think Robin was going to be a lesbian? Did you?
Fucking, I don't know. But
let me tell you, when Will dies in the next episode, that's fucking crazy.
I hope they bury him in them fucking jean shorts.
When Lucas sacrifices himself for Max, oh boy.
I don't like that.
The crowd goes wild.
I'd rather keep Lucas than Max if I had to choose.
Oh my gosh, rude.
Sorry.
But you know what? You're not racist, so good work. Kill the white one. Do the opposite of what Billy would do.
I've been hanging out with Billy lately. He's been really changing my mind on some things. Just kidding. Too bad they had to ruin his character like that.
You know what though, man? Billy, he taught Max right. We said, be careful about like Lucas. Look at Lucas. He's fucking trying to get fireworks and blow shit up. Like, honestly, maybe he was really just looking out for
certain
her.
Types of people that like fireworks and dynamite. I think that's
what
he's
talking
about.
They know what an M1 fucking whatever is.
M80, you fucking goof.
Wait, what's M130? Oh my God. An M130 is a lab code for a fucking, urine culture. I'm sorry.
Not exactly what we're talking about here. M80 is what you're looking for.
I'm just thinking of, like, anybody here, like, knows anything about, like, medical care and is like, M130 is a urine culture. That's weird.
But, yeah. Anyway. So, I don't know.
Or like the moment where Steve's talking about Susie. He's like, I gotta find my Susie. And Robin's like, who's Susie? And he's like, it's Lucas.
It's Dustin Scruffa.
I'm not 100% sure she's real.
Very good. Them being high, looking up at the lights was hilarious.
Oh, but then like actually me even watching it, like it makes me feel nauseous. Like I get that feeling. And like honestly, visually, they did a good job of like showing like that feeling when you look at the ceiling and it spins. Like, you know, we've all been there.
That's Tuesday for Jessica.
I've not had spinning ceilings in years. How dare you?
But no, it was good. It was funny. You know, obviously, by the way, the detail that Duffer Brothers sometimes like to engage in there, if you look closely at them barfing, it's fucking popcorn in the toilet.
It's and I was nasty.
Like, oh, oh, oh. Back to the Future, by the way. How cool is that?
Big fan. Like that.
That was cute. And the fact that they used what they call diegetic music. So, That just means that the music in the scene is coming from the scene itself.
Yeah. Like, so I feel like Stranger Things does that a lot.
Well, that's no, because they do a lot of that synth music.
No, but they do. They also do a lot of like listening to the radio. That's true. And driving, like they, I think a lot of their '80s music comes from that.
I think you're right about that. And it was with a score for Back to the Future. I'm like, ooh, paying some fucking royalties, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, they were.
Anyway, where to now, my friend?
I guess we can talk about the kids and their adventure and all the big action-y stuff. And
yeah, so Elle gets her titular bite right away.
Yep. Early on, massive fight with this creature.
I did not see this going this way, which was this somehow corrupting her. But I think this is a good move. It's doing something to her. I don't know. I know I'm jumping way ahead, but this fight is pretty awesome.
Yeah, we can jump around.
Nancy gets like +3 attractive points when she racks that fucking shotgun. I was like,
does Jonathan get points for doing things?
He does.
I gave him a point today.
He applied some man strength behind that axe.
Yeah, but you know who did better with the axe?
Lucas. Oh, big time.
Those people who like dynamite and axes, watch out, Max. I can't wait till someone sends hate mail about me.
Stay away from those type of people, yeah. You know, who wear Asian motifs on their shirts and wear awesome Converse. Shit. You know, those types of people who have awesome senses of humor, probably better than anyone on the whole show.
Wow, that is.
No, probably not. But he is funny. He doesn't get as much screen time, but.
No, but he is funny. He's a good character. Fucking funny. They're all.
Yeah, I just thinking of him in the, I know I'm jumping all over, but him in the grocery store going, how come the bowls aren't with the cereal?
He's like, what else would you eat with a bowl?
That shit is funny.
Well, I was like, I don't know.
That shit is funny, man.
Like a lot of things you can eat with a bowl.
But Elle gets hurt bad, but they do some damage to this thing. They fucking mess it up and she rends it with her mind bullets. And I start saying, how are we going to threaten Elle? Right, I've been saying this the whole season as she grows in power and matures, etc. But they have quite a cool action moment, and then they beat feet out of there.
Yeah, they've got to go get stuff to take care of. Do a little beanie.
Yep,
a little beanie.
Yes, hell yeah.
We love a good beanie. Got to get some rubbing alcohol. I like how Nancy's like, "This is what we do," and Max is like, "LOL, no, high skateboard."
I like this scene because this leads to some good stuff. Number one. Max is like, when she was like, I skateboard, I think I said, my brother's Billy. I know about fucking bloody wounds.
Jesus.
I know how to treat bloody wounds. My brother is Billy.
Jesus. Yeah. He's a demon now, if nobody noticed.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny stuff and cute stuff between the kids. We're obviously going to get Dustin kind of reintroduced to the group via the breaking up walkie-talkie. And they're like, oh, the movie, opening the gate. And Max is like, are you sure they didn't just say, wow, the movie is great? Like,
that's
are you sure?
Finn Wolfhard's great here.
This is a great, I love the scene between Elle and Mike. It's so great and smart and he's so very cute. And she's cute because she doesn't know the stuff that we know. I love it.
Max are friends now. It's just, I was jealous at first and angry. And that's why I said all that stupid stuff. And it's like...
First of all, I don't know how old he's supposed to be. How old is he supposed to be?
I'm going to guess teens, early teens. 13, 14?
His self-awareness is something I would not know until I was like 32.
I still don't know it.
Like, he's so fucking mature about this.
I wanted you all to myself. And now I realize how unfair that is and selfish and like, I'm sorry. I just like, I've never felt like this, you know, with anyone
really
before.
Oh, so good.
And
it's so genuine.
Yeah, they do say it makes you crazy.
What makes you crazy?
You never heard that term. You know, like the phrase, like blank makes you crazy, like the word.
Girlfriends?
No, not girlfriends.
And boyfriends.
No, not boyfriends either. It's like a feeling, or yeah, like something, like old people say to each other sometimes.
Old people? Do they?
Yeah. What I want to say is that I just I know
her, like
that I
hoping he says it. Great scene.
It's so good because it's very genuine between the two of them, and he's so sweet, and he talks to her and he's like, hey, I did these things wrong. And I know I did, but it's because I care about you. And then him as he's trying to say, like, basically that he loves her.
Of course.
And he can't say it. And he just like spirals into awkwardness in such like a very cute and very, very funny way. He's like, well, old people say it. And she's like, old people? It's great. It's so good. And again, it is a genuine, fantastic emotional moment that I feel like they did perfectly.
I love that later in this scene, we get the moment where I am old enough to remember this bullshit. And you're like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. We had to rewind the scene and watch it twice because I had no fucking clue what it was about. But Dean knows.
So he knows. New Coke was a thing and it sucked balls. Have you heard of Classic Coke?
Yeah. It's the Coke I drink every day.
Right.
That's not true. I don't drink Coke every day.
But, right. I know. Well, I know what you mean. But the reason they call it Classic Coke is because they ditched New Coke. And they can't just call it Coke again. So like Classic Coke is back.
Did it not have caffeine in it? Did it not have cocaine in it is what I meant to say. Excuse me.
I don't remember, but I do remember people being like, New Coke is garbage. But like, I don't know. I don't know if this is still true. I'd have to ask my nephews. But when we were kids, like a new flavor of soft drink was like entertainment to us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, have you tried Vanilla Coke?
Went through all the Mountain Dews? Oh, my God.
Now it's like there's 1,000 different things you can get at any point. So I don't know if it still has the same luster as it did when we were kids. But I remember New Coke being a thing. And I love the fact that he is using the argument for the thing from the 50s versus Carpenter's The Thing.
Which I also love, too, because this show is so inspired by The Thing and a lot of what happens.
This monster.
Also, The Thing is one of my favorite horror movies probably of all time.
Such a good movie.
The John Carpenter version, not the 50s version. One of my favorites of all time.
And sure. I love how Mike is like, I'm not talking about The Thing.
And Lucas is like, same concept. Like, no, it's not.
Again, Lucas is hilarious.
Yeah, Lucas is funny in this scene.
Finding the fireworks, describing, I like how immediate, they're such kids, like the immediate distraction over the fireworks. When you realize he's taking a fucking shopping cart of fireworks home. Mm-hmm. Remember when you could buy fireworks and not live in New Hampshire?
I was going to say, yeah, you got to drive over the border to New Hampshire.
But even then you can't get M80s. That shit's long gone. That's literally dynamite.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what happens when people fly planes into buildings. They ruin everything.
Ooh, yeah, true.
They ruin my ability to blow up my neighbor's mailbox with impunity.
Wow. Rude.
Impunity is what I meant to say.
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant to say, but it was weird.
Oh, boy. Well, we think the kids are in deep shit when they are being hunted down at the mall, right?
Yes, this is where our groups are going to come together. As we said, we've known that we were going to slowly get our bringing our groups back together. And we spent a lot of the season with our people separated. But here we are.
Here we are.
We're back together. Elle saves the day.
She definitely murdered those guys with a car.
Oh, for sure. But she's murdered people before with cars.
Yeah, it's fine.
I love Robin's reaction when she's like, what the fuck? And they're like, yeah, Elle has superpowers. And she's like, what? And they're like, oh, keep up, Robin. Like, what's wrong with you? Like she's crazy for being like, what the fuck?
Fast forward Elle like 10 years and this suddenly is an HBO show where she's like on fucking mescaline because she can't get the screaming people's like voices out of her head that she's murdered and she's like living in a flop house
Jesus.
Somewhere. I know. It's real dark. How she has to reconcile the people's lives she's snatched away with her fucking mutant powers.
Wow, that mm-hmm. was awkward for everybody.
Yep, sure enough was.
I like the reunion, everyone being back together, and they're excited, and it's cute.
You flung that car like a Hot Wheel.
And then Lucas and Erica, like, she's like, it's all their fault. And Steve's like, it is our fault.
Yeah. Nancy's like, who are you?
I actually love that.
Did you catch
okay,
that?
Okay, yes. And even the first time I watched that, I caught that, and I found that to be a truly genuine reaction.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in a young girl.
You catty bitches.
No, it's true. I'm sorry. It's true. And come at me if I'm wrong. You, when you see your ex with their new person, you want them to have downgraded. It's what you want. When you see your ex with someone who is ugly, you are like, score. When you see your ex with someone who's pretty, it's a concern. And your reaction is that. It's not because you want to be with your ex. You just want to be prettier than their new girlfriends. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? Someone tell me I'm wrong because you can't. You know it's fucking true. You know you look at your ex-boyfriend's Facebook when it says people you may know on Facebook and you see that his new wife is fat and you're like, good.
Yeah. I have the pathology of winning. So I understand that feeling. You just want to win.
Nancy wants to win. And then she saw Robin and was like, this is concerning. Spoiler alert. Robin, Steve, cuter than Jonathan.
Robin's going to be like, oh, that's Nancy. Hey,
hey Nancy. Cut to season 6 where like Nancy is like Robin have an affair.
Back to our HBO premise. Ah, fuck, we're ruining the
show.
They
go off to art school together. Nancy experiments.
It's always fucking art school. Holy shit.
Listen, I'm rewatching 6 Feet Under. I literally just watched Claire go through her brief lesbian experience while she was in art school. So
where are you going, RISD? No way, me too. I'm also going to RISD.
Do you want to be roommates?
Crazy.
We can make artwork together. Take my photo.
Have you ever heard of the Indigo Girls? Come to my window.
That's Melissa Etheridge.
I know.
Oh my God.
Take your pick. Oh,
I know my lesbian music. How dare you?
Yeah. Because
I went to art school too. No, just kidding.
Because you went to college too. Anyway.
We've all been there.
Yeah, she's got superpowers. Try to keep up.
Yeah.
Steve says.
Oh, it's so good. And they're like, yeah, she cracked a code. The Russians. They're like, wait, the Russians? It's great.
Yeah, that's a great moment out of Jonathan. He's like, Russians? He's so like, are you fucking serious right now?
And I also like, during all this, when they're all talking over each other, again, it's well written, and it's good directing and just acting as they all talk over each other, but there's still some are listening to some. And I love Dustin and Steve like arguing. He's like, oh, you couldn't hear me. I missed the batteries. And Steve's like, oh, I always tell you, you got to change the batteries. And like that dynamic between them that I just like love. It's so funny. It's just fantastic.
Good shit. Well, this is a lot of fun, Jessica. This is the best episode so far, I think.
It's a good episode. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of good stuff. Penultimate episodes are always my fave.
Red Wedding.
Pretty much. I know. Game of Thrones is famous for you know, their penultimate being good.
Although they waxed fucking Joffrey, like, in the third ep.
Yeah, remember when Game of Thrones used to be good?
I do.
I do, too.
Well, that said, we have one more episode. This one's called The Battle of Star Court, and I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, we'll be getting that to you in about a week's time. But until then, I think it's time for us to say goodbye. What do you say, Jessica?
Bye, everybody. See you at art school.
Thank you very much for tuning in to another edition of the Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast by LSG Media. Don't forget to visit us on the web at liverystreetgeek.net. That's liverystreetgeek.net.